Thank you again, Wendy, for planning that worship. Well, open your Reader's Digest to page 67. Oh, I'm kidding. We don't. Open your Bibles, right? Turn in your Bibles. We are, oh man, what did I say we were in? I wrote down the wrong one here. Romans 12. Romans 12. I still had last week's in there. It's the joys of copying and pasting. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 is our main focus today. I do like hearing the sound of phones being swiped. I'm kidding. I'm an old school. I like to have my pages. I like to be able to flip back and forth. But you know what? I am 57. I am not 27. And there's a lot of people that like to use their phones or their pads or whatever. What's most important is that when it comes to dig in and connect with God, that's what we're opening up, right? So I'm teasing a little bit there. We started off this series kind of going through some troubling, challenging things that our nation is going through. And that first week, we were reminded that Jesus said, when he recognized that everybody's searching after things that make them happy. Our nation does that. But he said, you know what? Seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things that you hunger after or you think you hunger after will be added to you. And that's where our focus is. And so this is what we're seeking to do. Our mission, we want to grow in love for God and one another. And as we're loving God with all our hearts and loving each other, we're going to naturally want to get into his word and learn more of God and know him more. And so the next natural step is to say, I want to grow in the knowledge of God's word. And as we grow and God pours more of himself into us, and we start realizing, you know what, this isn't all just for me. There's a world out there that needs to know about Christ. And I'm supposed to go out there and give it to them. I want to serve. It's the natural next step from transformation is to give and serve others. And I'll tell you what, the natural thing that comes out of watching God transform the lives of other people and use you to do that, you just love him more. You just find yourself saying, God, you're so awesome. You would use somebody like me. And we just keep doing the circle. That's the mission. That's the mission. So our focus, our goal for us as a body is to be plugged into three things. Sunday morning to worship, love God, and love one another. To be a part of a transformational group, a Bible study, a prayer group, a small group, and to find one place to serve. One place to serve. That's our calling. That's the simple discipleship path that we're all called to. And I'm grateful. And as we do these things for our families, our schools, our communities, our city, our nation, all these things that we seek after for our life. Jesus promised what? All these things will be added to you. Well, let's stand as we get into our reading today. Find out what God has for us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read together. Oops, we're going to do that one too. Back up one. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:1-2. How awesome it is that we can test and find out your good and pleasing and perfect will. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Your desire is to be engaged with us in our everyday lives. These promises make that all together real and accessible and reachable for each and every one of us. Thank you. Thank you for being not a God who looks at us from a distance, but is here intimately wanting to be involved in our lives. We love you for that, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our verse started, therefore, Paul was saying, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So our view, in view of, what's our view of God? That God is good. God is good, and he's great, and God loves. He loves you, and he loves me, and he loves all of the people in your life, all of the people in your city, your schools, your workplace, your country. God loves them. God's and his word, his unchanging truth, it's truth to us. It's something we can go to and say, this will not change. The world will change their minds every time you turn around. God doesn't change his mind. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah, that's awesome. And his word blesses. His word helps us. His word helps us to find goodness and blessing in our lives. It's why he gave it to us. What's our view of the mercy of God? That he came, remember that? One of my messages, if you get nothing out of my message, remember this, God came. I think that was the one on the Trinity. God came. He came for me and for you. He values you that much. That's our view of God's mercy. I didn't deserve that. But boy, I sure received it. And so did you, by faith. He loved me. He forgave me. He redeemed me. He took me, cleaned me up, and made me new again. He made me new again. And he restored my joy. He restored my joy. Founded and grounded in him. And so, Paul's saying, in view of God's goodness, his mercy, his grace towards you, offer your bodies. What was the greatest commandment? Love Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, all of yourself, your whole bodies. That's what he's talking about here. In view of your of God's mercy, offer your whole self. Your whole self as a living sacrifice. Living. That means I'm a sacrifice to you today, and should you not take me home, then I'll be a sacrifice for you tomorrow. Offer your bodies to him. Make that offering to say, God, I want to know you more. I want to understand you more. I want more of you in my life. I want you to use more of me to be a blessing to others. When we come to that view, that understanding, that I get it now. How many people can remember a time in their life? Maybe it was a one moment thing. Maybe it was a season of time where all of a sudden you're like, I get it now. I get God. I'm beginning to get it. He loves me. Oh my gosh. He did this for me. You know, how many people can remember that season or that moment in your life where you're like, yeah, all of a sudden he became so very real. That's kind of a human nature thing. What do? You know, in new relationships, when I started dating Terry about 34 years ago or something like that, 35 years ago, every month on our 1 month anniversary, didn't last forever. She got a rose on her windshield. I don't think I did that every month. My memory says I did, but you know. We embellish ourselves a little bit. But I used to, the things I would do, she worked at a home for people that were just challenged and very, very physically and mentally handicapped. And she was a nurse's aide there. And back then, I had a really queasy stomach. I would help her study for her nursing exams, and I'd be like, going, oh, gosh. Just talking about this stuff, it would turn me green. I would go visit her in the nursing home. And I don't know what it is about me. But people would see, they know Terry, and they got to know that I was Terry's boyfriend, and they would just flock. They would come running up to me when I came in, and I was just like going, oh my gosh. It was very uncomfortable for me. I just was not used to it. But I went. Why? I like Terry a lot. Funny how God uses that. He used me. I love to be with, you know, special needs people. It's not something that causes me distress at all anymore. It's just something that God has grown me in. But you know, I wasn't a Christian at that time. It was part of my love for her, but that's kind of what happens. When we love someone, we pursue them. We do crazy things that we wouldn't normally otherwise do because we really want that person in our lives. And that's human nature. I want a new car. You wouldn't believe how much time I spend researching cars when I buy a new or used car. It's a little bit weird. But we pursue it, don't we? When we love someone, it's a natural human thing to say, I want to know you more. I want more of you, and I want you to have more of me. That's just how love works, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. That's that true and proper worship. When it says, offer your bodies holy and pleasing to God. When I was dating Terry at the beginning, you know what? I did everything I could to make myself look as good as I could, right? Am I right? That's the way it works. And I want to please God. I want to please God, you know? Paul talks about that this is your true and proper worship. One of the translations says your reasonable worship. It's like, duh. You love someone, you go out of your way to express that love. You love God, duh. You go out of your way to love them. It's just what love does. And it leads us to seek to be holy. Because that's no one will please God without holiness. That's what Scripture tells us. And so I want to please Him. I want to be holy. I want to be used and set apart for Him and His purposes. That's what holy means, to be His. I'm His. Set apart for Him. So he says, in view of God's mercy, worship Him. Be holy and pleasing to Him. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. This is what God is telling us. If you love me and you want to worship me, don't conform to the pattern of this world. That's the NIV translation. The word world actually means like an age of time, a season, this moment that we're in the 21st century. There's a word, have you ever heard the word zeitgeist? Zeitgeist. It means the defining spirit and mood of the times. Every season, there's different seasons that come. You know, you think of the 50s, well, you think of, you know, music and doo-wop and mom and pop and picket fences, post-war stuff. There's different zeitgeists. There's different ages. And Paul is saying, the New Living Translation says it this way, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. So like the patterns of this world, as the NIV says, the normal of this world. Look around, there's lots of things that we are just part of our culture, whether they're our phones, the internet, social media, being able to binge watch, you know, 15 seasons of whatever show, you know, celebrities, politics, how we define success and failure. There's lots of, and these are not necessarily right or wrong things. This is what just defines this world, this present age. And the world will always seek after what the world thinks it wants, right? The world will all be going in one major direction. What does the Bible say? Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that follow it. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. There's a lot of people that are going to be going with the mood of the times. They're just flowing with the direction. And the world without Christ, without God, will try to fulfill its desires in the ways that it knows how. Right? That was the whole thing about seek first the kingdom. Jesus says, hey, your father knows that everybody wants things to wear, things to eat, a place to live, all the stuff that of basics of life. Your father knows you need those. He knows you need those, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added to you as well. And so the world will try to do it its way. It's like a river. There is a current, and everything just flows with the current. And if you want to not flow with current, you got to make a choice, don't you? You have to do something to keep yourself from just being pulled along with the current. That's reality. Whether you call it the current of our culture or the crowd or the herd mentality, there is going to be a bent of most people going one way, fulfilling what they think their needs and wants are, their way, rather than God's way. But unless you choose to seek first the kingdom, guess what will happen? Unless you choose to go towards God, what will happen? You will just flow down the river with everybody else. And God is very clearly saying, you need to, if you want to fulfill those things, you need to want me more. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And then all these things. Don't conform. Don't be molded into. That's what that word talks about, being molded and shaped into the patterns of this world, into the behaviors, the customs of this world. But he says, be transformed be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the other direction. That's the fish going the other way, is to be transformed. Now, this word, metamorpho, it's usually divides those two vowels, is two words that come together. Meta means to change after being with something or someone. Meta, to change after being alongside or with something or someone. And morphe is embodying the inner essence. So when somebody embodies something, what's inside becomes embodied in their outwardness, if that makes sense. So the butterfly, it's a good visual, but oftentimes in these visuals, they can't fully tell the whole story, because we see a caterpillar. There he is, sitting on a stick. He puts himself into a cocoon. And then after so much time, while he's in there, he is what? Metamorphed, right? He's changed. He's transformed into something different from the inside out. And then he comes out and he flies away, something different from when he came in. But what's missing out of that? What's missing out of the meta? That the word meta means what? Exactly. Who is the after being with, you are changed? The butterfly kind of misses that because it's an imperfect example. But that's the reality. We are changed after being with God, and actually after being with each other as well. And after God changes us and does that inside out change, then we begin to embody, right, the inner essence of what God has done on the inside. It becomes embodied in our lives. Will the world do that? Does the world metamorph? Oh, it does. You spend all your time with the world, and you will become like the world. Again, it's the, am I going to flow downriver with everybody, spend time with everybody, and allow them to change me on the inside, and then it becomes changes me on the outside? Or am I going to say, no, I'm called to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm called to spend time with the one that changes hearts, changing my heart so that I begin to live out, embody what he's done for me on the inside of my heart. God is calling us to let him transform us into his image. It's not something he forces on us, is it? You have a choice. You can flow downstream or say, I am seeking first the kingdom. I'm seeking first God. And what he calls us to is that renewing. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the verse says. Be transformed, changed from the inside out by being with God, by the renewing of your mind. Just stop and think of the word renew. What does re mean? When you add re onto something? Yeah, do it again. Yeah, to reopen my Bible, I'm going to open it again because I'd close it. I'm going to reopen it. Yeah, you do it again. To renew, when something is made new, that's what God does. He makes us new again. We become what? New creations in Christ. Isn't that amazing how God's word just fits together and explains itself? It does when we dig into it like that. So he renews us, and we are transformed by the making new of ourselves again. That's how we're transformed. He makes us new. And we become like new by being with him. I heard an example of carpenters back then. This is what something of what Jesus was teaching, and I don't remember what verse it was, but I remember the illustration. You know, have anybody ever worked with wood and you let it sit around a while and get, what happens to the wood? Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like, ah, 2x4 is now a 2x, I don't know what it is, right? They had a way of straightening 2x4s. You know how they did it? They would take a warped 2x4, soak it in water, strap it tightly to a straight, strong board, and let it sit. And slowly, you know what would happen to that warped 2x4? Yeah, it would conform. It would be renewed back into its original shape. That's what it means to spend time with God, and even with each other. We rub off on each other, and that's a good thing when we're rubbing off well, right? We're called to grow from each other, that inside-out change. Are you desperate yet for this kind of change in our country? Because then, when we've been transformed, right? That's the then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So all these things will be added unto you that seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's the same thing, same teaching as this. You'll be able to find his good and pleasing and perfect will. Seek first the kingdom, all these things will be added. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and prove what his will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect. I remember as a new Christian, I began to seek him, and I just began to spend time at Bible studies with other mature believers. I was in church whenever I could because I just wanted to know Jesus more. I wanted to know God more. And I began to be able to test and approve what his will was and say, like, what? How does this, that's not working. What does the Bible say about that? And then I would learn and grow and find wisdom there, and I'd start learning to live out what I was learning. I'm like, oh, God's way is so much better than my way. I remember, though, reading the Bible. I have my memory, which is sketchy at best, but I went and bought a Bible. I didn't know what kind to buy, but I bought one. And I read, I think I read through it. That's what my memory says anyway. And I was pretty clueless. I read, I'm like going, I have no idea. What is that? There was so much of this was just going over my head. I was struggling to, but you know what I did? I kept seeking first his kingdom. I just kept reading and I kept going and learning from other people. I needed people in my life that were wiser than I was, that had walked the faith walk before me. And they taught me. They taught me, and I began to learn. And as I began to learn with others, it just began to change my life. Man, I'll tell you, if you knew how shy and backwards and clueless I was as a young person, I still look back and I just laugh because I'm like, really? How on earth? And I'm not trying, I am not all that at all. I don't even have a bag of chips. But I do know what he has done in my life. And I think back, there are times when There are just times when I look around me and I think back and think, man, could that have been me? Oh, my goodness. I would not have had the marriage that I have now. No way. I would not have had the children that I'm just blessed with. I would not have been doing anything like what I'm doing now. And there are, quite honestly, I'm a little scared to think about what I would have been doing. And gosh, he works out his good and pleasing and perfect will. He can take us from some pretty interesting places. All we do is just say, God, I want to seek you first. And he meets us in that humble. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble place. And he just takes us and changes us. It's mind-blowing to me. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Man, when will you be able to test and approve what God's good and perfect will is? When? After what? Well, it says something more specific. It says, then you will be able to. Usually then is following something previous to it. What was the thing that happened before the then? Transformation. Yep. You want to be able to seek out God's good and perfect will for your life? It happens through transformation. There's that then is there for a very specific reason. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's good and pleasing and perfect will is. That's a powerful thing. It's when our nation will find God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Not if we're trying to find our own wisdom, our own ways, our own how we're supposed to fix things. Then, after you've been transformed as a nation, you'll be able to find his good and pleasing and perfect will. What does the future look like for our kids, our grandkids, our loved ones? It's dependent on us finding out God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Because if the church doesn't, if the church isn't transformed and finds that, then it doesn't happen. And our nation is left trying to figure it out itself, and we'll go the way of every other nation before us that forsook God. And that's the truth. But when we're transformed, when we're metamorphed from the inside out, from spending time with him and with each other, God makes us into what he wants us to be. And he will start. I can't change the whole country. Can you? What can you change? I can start right here, right? I can start right here. And I can not only that, I can start trying to make a difference in the people that are right around me, whether that's right here in this church or in your workplace or in your school or in your neighborhood or in your city activities. Let's be a transformed people. But in order to be transformed, we've got to get with God. We've got to be strapped alongside the straight board, right? To be able to build our house on the rock. We got to hear the word of God in order to put it into practice, don't we? How many people are going to be able to put into practice what they've never heard? You can't. We have to, if we're going to be a transformed people, we have to engage with God and his word. We have to. There is no other way. But it is the way. And so as we do it, God will transform us, and he will begin to transform the people around us, the world around us, the neighborhood around us. That's what he will begin to do. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in many other people's lives. It will happen. And that's why we're getting back to the basics. That's why our mission is that we're just getting back to the basics. Probably a little less busy, but a lot more focused on what God calls us to do. So, we're not going to have an altar call or any come forward moment today. There's study group lists, Bible studies, small groups at the Connection Center. Places for you to find, to be plugged in, and to engage with God. Whether it's Sunday morning at 10 o'clock with the adult Bible hour, there's a men's group on Monday mornings, Monday evenings at 7 o'clock here. There's a Thursday morning men's group over at Friars at 8 o'clock every week. There's a new women's study that you can go find out more information about in the lobby. Wednesdays at 7. I'll be starting a new group. You can come in for the last group of my biblical finances if you wanted this Wednesday. Youth group meets. We have our children's ministry on Sunday mornings. How vital is that for our kids? If they don't get it, you know, they're gonna be walking their lives without him and just be taken right along with the current of the world. It's vital that we are bringing our children to church and getting them used to being a part of the body. They are part of the body, right? And we talked about a vision for a Wednesday night kids group. So they have their own small group. And parents can come to a Bible study and have something for the children. And maybe God's laying on your heart. Maybe God might be calling me to give away what I've been given for all these years. Maybe God wants me to teach. Because we need to have places for people to go to engage in God's word. And I don't know. Is God calling you to step up and say, I don't know, I've never done it before, but with a little help, I feel like God might be calling me to that. You might be the place, you might be the one that somebody comes into your group and you say, this is new, I've never done this before. But we're going to try to learn together. And the other person says, awesome. And you walk through it together. God uses us in all different kinds of ways and places. So where is God calling you to dig into engaging with God? I'm going to ask our worship team to come up as we close. You know, I sometimes feel like the United States has kind of a little bit of a teenager mentality. You know what mentality that is? Remember as a teenager having the it'll never happen to me mindset? How many people had that one? How many people that led you to some good places, right? Never happened to me. There are thousands of churches closing every year in our nation. I feel like we as a nation need to recognize the need to grow past that and say, you know what, it could happen to me. But not if I step up and say, we're going to be a church that is doing what God calls us to do and becoming transformed people. Let's take a minute and close our eyes to pray. Father, we recognize that this is the way. You've called us to engage with you. You've called us to be transformed, and it's how we're going to hear from you. Lord, there's a fear there. There are schedule problems there. There's busyness. There's a fear of not knowing enough, mindset of I've heard it all. What else can I learn? There's all kinds of things that keep us from just being regularly engaged with your word and with your people. And I pray, Father, that you'd put upon our hearts a vision for our children, a vision for our communities, our schools, for our nation, Lord God, that this truly is the only way. You truly are the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way besides you. So help us, Father, to be a people that will, whatever you call us to, that we're just going to treasure and value your word and seek after it. Wherever it leads, whatever that looks like, Lord, that we will seek after it and seek after you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
And amen.